It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about South Carolina's great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Having a lot of fun on Wednesdays here of late, talking the great outdoors. It's SC Wild presented by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources here on Sports Talk. Chris Bergen along with Josh Cohen back in our Columbia studios. And as we do every other Wednesday normally, but because of the current situation here in our state with the hurricane that passed through late last week and caused so much havoc, not just on people, also on animals around the state, we're kind enough to be joined once again by Major Billy Downer of the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer, how are you, sir? And we appreciate your time tonight.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show again. We're back on schedule, first Wednesday of the month. We're going to get into something really quick here because I know folks will be interested in this. Of course, yes, we had Tropical Storm Helene come through our state and leave quite the path of destruction behind her. It goes without saying, a lot of people are hurting right now. Certainly our hearts go out to them. Our officers have been working since the storm came through, first of all, to get out of their own yards to help their local community, and then working special missions we have now, like going to gas stations and making sure people are keeping their cool heads as gas is somewhat short in some areas. It's getting better. And as power comes on, things are going to get better. And it's getting a lot better in the last day here particularly. So interesting facts. We lost 1.3 million power. I mean, million wow. People, you know, houses, not people. 1.3 million houses lost power. And within about 2 days, we were down to 1.1, and now we're just above 500,000. And those 500,000, of course, unfortunately, if you're sitting without power right now, this is no consolation, but it's going to be a little while because those are the harder to reach places in some cases, just because of the different electrical companies and how they are getting their power up. And in some cases, you have transmission lines. Like Santa Cooper's had some down, they're having to fix those. So a lot of things. I want to mention that as far as the boating navigation caution, the Congaree River past 77, just south of 77 there, where there's a transmission line tower actually fell in the river, and that's on the Congaree River Basin. So please be careful of that area. Abundance of caution, I wouldn't be on the water right now. Our rivers are up to what we would consider a major flood stage, the Watery, the Congaree. I know I talked to some friends that were going in the swamp in Sparkleberry, and that's just not a smart idea. With water this high, it can be extremely dangerous very quickly. And if you get in trouble, you're now going to put the lives of others at risk to come get you. So please keep that in mind, particularly with the fact that we've got cell phones down. And I think that's one of the surprising things for a lot of people is that this storm, not only did it have destruction in the form of tornadoes that spun off and took down large trees and historic trees in many cases, you know, trees that are 100 years old and pine trees alike, it also took power down to what we're so used to, our daily life of just cell phones. It took those out. In the upstate, we had no radio as far as radio communication for a short time, no cell phone service, and no power. And all those things just combine for making it miserable when you're used to this modern world we live in. Yeah. And cell service, I'll tell you, is still spotty because a lot of cell towers are still on generators and those go in and out. So if you're wondering about cell service, what's going on, that's what's going on there. But again, first responders across the state, SLED, probation, parole, pardon services, are what we call our ESF 13 partners, are working hard to, with DNR, we're working all together to work missions with the Highway Patrol and just try to keep people safe. Again, a lot of road work still going on, a lot of clearing going on. Thank goodness we're not on that I-40 corridor. What horrible place that is right now, just with the destruction there, and it's going to be, you know, a year probably before they're able to fix that. But anyway, again, a lot of storm damage, but with that, a lot of water coming down the rivers. And so let me get to that point. We brought in, I know Jay Cantrell's with us, and Jay, thanks for being patient and waiting on me to get through my storm talk. But we want to talk about closures for right now in the Watery, Congaree drainage and the Santee drainage. Let's talk about that for a minute. What, you know, with the story again, where we keep hearing the word historic flood levels, where that 50, probably a 50 year, or what will we, if you want to really know, it would be comparative to 2015 type flooding in the Watery Congaree and Santee drainage. So with that, as flooding increases, it pushes animals up onto the land and forces them into a little bit more of an unfair advantage in gathering them in areas. So Jay, let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, thanks, Billy. And yeah, again, I think some people might not think about, you know, where the impact of this storm really was, but all that rain that fell in the upstate and in western North Carolina has to go somewhere, and a lot of it has made or is making its way across the state and down toward the coast. So, you know, yeah, really high water levels and a lot of flooding, again, the Congaree River Basin, Watery River Basin, and the Santee River, as all those make their way to the coast. And yeah, that ends up with flooding levels of this nature and this high, it does push animals, terrestrial animals, particularly deer that we're talking about in this case, out of their normal home range, because this floodplain gets extremely wide. And it's a lot of water moving through there. And so we do this. We have authority to do this, and we do this with major flood events like the 2015 one, to where we put in these temporary closures. We delineate boundaries, you know, not just in the area that's inundated with flood water, but a little bit outside of it as well with some dry ground, because that's where these animals get pushed to, and that's where they're vulnerable. And this is just an effort to not take advantage of deer and other animals when they're in a, you know, an unnatural, exploitable, vulnerable position. They're pushed out of their normal range. They're in unfamiliar territory. Their normal escape routes are not there. Sometimes they get trapped on a little pocket of high ground, or they've been navigating through flood water and they're sometimes, you know, exhausted or disoriented. So it really just puts them in a position where it would be unfair and, you know, and unethical and not sporting to take advantage of that. So we put in these closures and the boundaries we have to draw, you know, we want people to be able to find them and identify them. So typically we're looking at what's flooded and then a little bit outside of it with dry ground, and then try to find the nearest road, major road, landmark, you know, something where we can draw these boundaries that we can map and we can describe in, you know, text, and so where it's clear where people can and can't hunt. And these are short-term things, you know. But all this is based on data that we're getting. You know, we've got great staff within DNR that deals with our flood mitigation, and they have models, and they're looking at the river gauges, and they're also talking with folks like Santee Cooper and Duke and Dominion and getting good information on the discharge rates from the dams, because all this, you know, this water is coming out of reservoirs, and so it's a lot of science into it, and they can predict and forecast river levels, and then we know historically when rivers are at certain flows and certain levels, what is going to get flooded, and so we can adjust. And yeah, this one, as you kind of mentioned, is right now looking very similar to the 2015 flood, which I think anybody who was in South Carolina 9 years ago remembers that well. Obviously a different event that led to the flooding as far as where the water came from, but the river levels in the Watery, Congaree, and Santee are predicted to be about the same or possibly even a little higher than that 2015 flood, which for years after that was referred to as a 1,000-year flood. But, you know, now these things are more and more common. And as you mentioned, I think our flood people are calling this a 50-year event, maybe a 100-year event. But it's, and regardless, major flooding, these rivers are at very high levels, spilling out their banks and pushing wildlife into positions where they're not, you know, where they're exploitable and vulnerable. So that's the reason for this. So we've got these closures in place. They went into place last night at midnight, and they'll go until Sunday night at midnight. We're monitoring the situation to see, you know, if we need to expand it, you know, geographically, we don't think we will, or if we need to extend it in time. What it looks like right now is we'll probably be able to let that Congaree watery closure expire Sunday night. Can't say for sure, but that's what it's looking like. Those rivers should drop out fairly quick. Santee, we're keeping an eye on it. We may have to tack an extra day or two or three on that because, you know, that's further down the system, and it's just going to take longer for that water to get out, and it slows down as it gets closer to the coast and spreads out. So, yeah, we're just keeping an eye on things. But as it stands right now, those areas are closed until Sunday night late. And then, you know, if people have not seen this, this has gone out on news releases. It's on the front page of our DNR website and social media sites. But if you're not familiar, you can go to our website and see the maps. There's detailed maps of where the closure areas are. There's descriptions, you know, for each county with the boundaries of these things with roads and other features. So it's, you know, all that information is out there for people. But the main thing to keep in mind is it's temporary. It's not affecting, you know, it's only affecting the area it needs to affect. And, you know, this is for the benefit of the wildlife species and, you know, to not take advantage of them when they're in a rough position.
Right. So just to mention, Jay, for a couple of things. So the watery Congaree drainage is in Calhoun County, Kershaw County, Lexington County, Richland, and Sumter. That's not the whole county. It's just the portion right there at the river. And as you said, they're defined. Right. The Santee drainage affects Berkeley County, Charleston County, Georgetown County, Williamsburg County, and Clarendon County. So those drainages affect a lot of counties. We understand that. But I want to mention this because I know personally this, before this decision was made to close it, we were receiving calls from concerned sportsmen that wanted to have this closed to protect the deer. So it's interesting that we receive that kind of information from people, and people just aren't out there being greedy going, oh yeah, I can get them congregated right now. People are actually telling us, hey, you need to close the season in these areas because the deer are just going to be really vulnerable right now. So I'm proud of that fact that we had sportsmen that did that.
No, it's great to have, you know, ethical sportsmen with you know, that feel that way. And yeah, you're correct. We started getting calls, you know, Saturday and Sunday and Monday, and the decision was made Monday after we had enough time to look at the data. And so, yeah, it's good that people are of the mindset that they don't want to do things unethical. Another thing we need to point out, though, this is not for all species. There are exemptions on this. Alligator hunting, hog hunting, coyote hunting, dove hunting is still allowed in those zones. You know, obviously those things are, you know, coyotes and hogs are invasive and destructive species, and we don't, you know, we're not protecting them. And then alligators are obviously in that type of environment anyway. And then, you know, doves are not terrestrial, and so they're not affected. But, you know, this is mostly a deer and I think the only other small game we probably have now is squirrel season in. But yeah, this is predominantly a deer closure for the most part, because they really do get put into some predicaments in these type situations.
Absolutely. So, Jay, let's talk about the deer season just for a minute. I know, what do we know so far with our tagging, newer tagging requirements? Have we gotten any interesting information on that? Anything surprising at this point? I know it's early.
I wouldn't say anything surprising, but we're happy with how the reporting system is going. The harvest reporting system that we've talked about on this program, and I think people are familiar with, it seems to be going well. You know, it's working as planned, and I think hunters are not having any problems with it. You know, there's a few little human error things here and there that we're able to fix, you know, with a errant report or a double report or something. But no, it's good. We're getting good data. Yeah, it's a little early to do any analysis, but no, we're happy with the system, and hopefully hunters are happy with it. We've been getting some positive feedback, and we'll definitely, when we get a little further into the season, start putting some information out to the public on, you know, just some kind of summary stats, you know, so far, and so people can kind of see see what's happening. But no, it's working well. And, you know, obviously with this situation after the storm, we've run into a couple things, you know, that it came to our attention that over in the Aiken area, which was hit particularly hard. There's no cell phone service in large areas. People are having a difficult time reporting, and you know, we'll work through that. You know, we've kind of let people know, hey, you know, that's extenuating circumstance, and you know, report when you're able to. You know, this is a unique situation, but no, it's going well.
So can you look at the, like we did during turkey season, can someone go on there through the app and look at what's been taken so far?
Yes, they can. Yeah, that's a good point. Within the Go Outdoors SD mobile app, when you open that app up, there's a digital, I can't remember the name of it, but it's
digital
on
backpack.
The screen. It's a, yeah, a digital backpack, and there's a hunter's toolbox in there. And if they click on that, it pulls up where they can kind of, you know, query the system based on a specific date or a range of dates. You can look at the whole season. You can look at a particular county. You can look at a particular WMA or list all WMAs or list statewide. You know, it gives you some options on what you want to look at. But yeah, people can absolutely go in and see totals of bucks, does, button bucks, total harvest, you know, so far for the season. So that's a great tool for the public, for hunters to use and keep up with. You know, we've had that for turkeys, and that's been really popular there. But same thing is in place for deer, and people can go on and kind of see what the harvest is looking like in their county or statewide or their favorite WMA or whatnot. So it's great
interesting. I'm looking right now. Private lands total is over 16,000 to date. That's pretty cool. And just under 10,000 in bucks. So interesting.
Yeah, we'll see those numbers really start climbing. You know, the bulk of our harvest is usually in October and you know, the first part of November. And you know, so we'll probably see those numbers really jump in leaps and bounds as temperatures cool off and the rut gets going. And you know, there's a lot of the state that you know, the firearm season's not even in yet. You know, up in game zone 1 and 2. So there's still, you know, a lot of deer season in front of us, and I think we'll see those harvest numbers really start taking leaps and bounds, particularly on the weekends, you know, over the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Absolutely, there's no doubt. It's, it's interesting. I think it's just, I like looking at the stats to see. It's just cool to see when you want to look at a report, you can look, select all, look at the counties, and it tells you by county, total harvest. And
right.
For those that like to get it in numbers, it's pretty neat. Obviously,
it is.
You look at counties like Orangeburg is far above everybody else, but they've had a season since August 15th, which is interesting.
Yeah, they've had a long season. And you got to keep in mind, too, you know, Orangeburg is one of the largest counties in the state, landmass-wise. So that skews things a little bit. But yeah, it is kind of cool to compare counties or parts of the state. And I want people to realize, too, you know, what's available publicly there is just some totals on, you know, bucks, does, button bucks, total harvest. But obviously we're getting additional information in there, you know, on weapon type, time of day. And then there's some optional stuff in there on weights and antler points and spreads.
Right.
So we will have other data that we're able to see and analyze that we'll put out for people to see. So, it's, you know, there's going to be a lot of really interesting information to look at. And then, you know, to be able to kind of plot out a graph of the season and see, you know, peaks and when harvest, you know, jumps up. And my guess is, you know, the rut in South Carolina is typically, you know, right around
mid-October to mid-November.
Yeah, or even if you want to narrow it down a little bit more, the last week of October and the first week of November is really the peak, you know, right around Halloween and a few days either side. So I anticipate we'll see a really big leap in the harvest right in there. But no, it's great data. We're excited about it. It gives us a lot better information than we've had in the past, and we'll make sure that we share that information with the public. You know, it's not just going in a black hole and going away. We're gonna share it and let people see it. And I think hunters will be very interested and be able to learn some things from it.
Absolutely. So before we go tonight, Jay, let's just remind folks real quick our requirements this year. When you buy your big game permit, you're going to receive, you know, was it 5 tags, 3 bucks, 2 does.
Yep.
Everybody gets that. Those are 3 unrestricted tags. You can buy 2 additional antler restricted tags and an additional 5 doe tags.
Well, you can buy an additional 4 doe tags.
4
if you're in 2 bonus. Yeah.
If you're in the certain counties and you're in game zone 4, right? 3 and 4 for those bonus.
Actually, the bonus everybody gets, but now they're valid in game zone 2 as well. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're all learning something tonight. But when you get your tags online, we've always required you to tag the deer at the point of kill. That's still a requirement for now. You've got to tag that with your physical tag. You need the physical tags in possession when you're hunting. You know, your license can be on your phone, but you need those physical tags with you so that you can physically tag the deer again in the rear leg through the hock there, as we call it. But if once you do that, this year there's an additional requirement to go on your phone or on the internet, or there's a phone number to call, several different ways. Most people will use the phone app to report that take. And as Jay said, that's where we're getting these numbers from. And that's required this year, that you tag also on the phone and you check that tag and you describe, you know, basically, Jay, what are the things real quick that we were looking for? The mandatory things?
You know, basically county, what type of deer, you know, buck, doe, or a button buck, and then weapon type, time of day, and then there's some optional things for weight and some antler measurement. But it's very basic information, but it's good information. But, yeah, that's required either prior to you taking it to a processor or no later than midnight of the day of harvest. So. But yeah, it, like I said, I think it's working well. People are happy with it. We're happy with it. And, it'll be some good information. But yeah, we're excited to see how the season turns out.
All right. Well, Jay, again, thanks for joining the show tonight. We'll be in touch with the public here after Sunday to see where we go with the rest of the season on the watery congaree drainage specifically and the sandy drainage. That's the only area affected for now. But again, tonight, folks, as we leave tonight, just want to thank you for listening. I hope that you've got power. If you don't, our prayers are certainly with you, and you hope that you get power soon. Please stay safe. And I'll tell you one thing, we've had an officer incident involved in this too. Just please be careful with chainsaws and cutting limbs. Those limbs under tension will snap back and pop you in the face, the arm, and they'll break bones. Trees don't break for your body. So please be careful out there. And also, watch down power lines. Again, there's many of those still out there tonight as we go through the show, even today. And here we are, 6 days after the storm went through, almost 7 days coming up. You know, we've still got lines down everywhere. So please be careful when you're out. And if you're out and about and you're getting fuel and you're in a line, just going to ask you to please be patient. You know, everybody's trying to wait for gas too. And I know you need gas for your generators. You need gas for other things, your vehicle and those things. But just please be patient with others. And we'll all get through this on the backside.
Well said, Major Downer. We appreciate it tonight. Great info. Thanks for your time tonight. And also want to thank Jay Cantrell for joining us as well for SC Wild, presented by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. And DNR always does great stuff. And I was actually really, really proud of our state when they were talking about hunters that have actually gone out and talked to DNR about, hey, you need to close this portion of the hunting grounds because the deer will not have a fighting chance. I thought that was fabulous stuff there for sure. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this Wednesday edition of the program. We're back tomorrow. We've got a really, really good show planned for you. A couple of interesting, fun stuff. Don't want to give up just yet in case it doesn't come through, but hopefully it will. And we'll also have, of course, the M&M boys to break down the Gamecocks, Ole Miss, and also Clemson, Florida State. Should be fun. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow night on Sports Talk.